Hey everybody, welcome to episode 40. Today I am joined by Evan D. Simone. Evan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I didn't realize this was a milestone episode.
It is, you know, the big 4-0.
I've always felt 40 at heart, so this is a great moment for me.
That's it? I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, but like when we were like 15, didn't I seem kind of like Murphy Brown age?
Yeah, then, now way over.
I'm clinging to my future youth. Don't think about it. Don't do it.
Okay, yeah. We'll just get into the episode.
Great.
Bye, guys. Bye. All right, Evan, who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I feel like you should know this by now. I am.
I know this better than most, and I'm now just... it's your turn to burden the world with what I know.
Oh, God, well, let the suffering begin. No, I mean, I'm just a guy who lives in your apartment.
That checks out.
That is, I'm the other person who's here. It's not a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I am a writer. I work in digital media. I make branded content and advertisements, so I am the least legitimate kind of writer. I am the kind of writer that is known as a sellout, and I'm cool with that, because I get a bigger paycheck, and it makes me super happy.
There you go. Nailed it. All right, guys. See you next week. Bye. Sorry, I'm not on my A game today. I'm back. I'm a little sleepy. I'm a little out of it. You know how we were talking about beforehand, you're like, no, it's harder. It seems like it could be harder to interview someone, you know. I think it is, because I'm just like, there's nothing I need to ask anymore. Usually I'm like curious, like trying to learn something about someone, but I'm like, we talk every day.
Well, I am like a notably exhausting presence, even to people that don't know me well, but you've survived years of this. So
that is true.
At this point, it's amazing to me that you have anything to say to me beyond like, hey, where's that thing that I wanted? But I'm sure that in time, you know, we can sort of plumb the depths. Maybe I should ask you some questions.
I
don't have any questions. I know you pretty well too. So, don't find you that interesting.
We're both just like, well, that was the episode.
Well,
bye,
it's
buddy.
Over.
We did it. Ugh.
Nice job, guys.
Oh no. I'm actually. I don't know what I know so much about you. You
it's
are
tough.
On...
I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because I've just been around for so long.
I got this.
Okay.
I got this.
Okay.
I don't. But
I'm backing you up.
You were one of the first four people in which were on the podcast.
Oh, God, yes. The Halcyon Days of Chip Chat.
Boy, howdy. Those
was not called that.
All four of those episodes were... terrible.
Pure gold.
Oh, God.
I think I'm hearing you say
they were painful.
Pure gold. It was never better than that.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, they were terrible because of Meeps. I had no idea what I was doing. This is me knowing what I'm doing.
It seems a lot the same, except this time no snacks.
No snacks. No snacks. I got nothing. But because of you guys, the three of you sat down, you were just like, you're an idiot, but yeah, we'll help you. And we worked through it, we figured out, we got some form of a structure that I then have been working on and critiquing. I've been working on changing here a little bit there. And like, you guys are the reason that not just this podcast, but the entire network has been started is because like you guys were like, you're an idiot, but we support you.
I appreciate that. And I also want to get it in writing because there's any money behind this.
Yes.
We'll talk about percentages later. But no, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I love what you do. But you know me well enough to know if someone says to me, hey, come sit in my living room and talk about yourself. That's my dream, essentially. That's all I really ever want in any relationship. Is for someone to say, tell me everything about you and say lots of nonsense.
Fair. That's a hot thing. I really thought I would have more trouble getting guests, and everyone is ready to create content. And it's great because I use it as an opportunity to get to know people who I am usually too shy to sit down and actually get to know. And it's been a game changer in that aspect. Like, I now have met, I've now had people on my podcast that led to me becoming friends with them and now producing their podcast and like going and hanging out with friends that I've met through my podcast and other people's podcasts now. And it's just been great. It's been awesome. And also, you are one of the biggest reasons why there is the Brain Machine.
Oh, God, memories. Yeah.
Because we were on a trivia team for the better part of four.
That was an uncomfortably large part of our life.
It was a long time.
In a divey bar.
Once a week.
With a cigarette smoking grandmama.
Yeah. Like literally in a basement of a house.
90% of the questions, bar. I think. She got wrong.
Yeah. Oh, terrible.
Did not know the correct answer. And some of the best memories of my life.
We were so gung-ho about going every Thursday for years.
Well, I mean, at that point, let me think. We were in our early 20s. We all hated our jobs.
Oh,
like, what else could we possibly win at that point? That was the one. None of us are sporty. You were like a little sportier.
Yeah,
McGrath was sporty.
Me and playing ultimate. Well, McGrath ran marathons,
but he did boring things that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
So,
friend of the show, Brian McGrath.
Love
shout out
that
to
guy.
You.
Don't tell him. But no, that was like I think that was just like our only sort of competitive outlet for the week. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like our only social. There was just so little going on.
There was nothing.
That was the thing that we had. That was our excuse to get together with people.
Yeah,
we just dragged people into it. People wanted nothing to do with that.
Oh,
we're like,
not
no, come
all.
Trivia. They're like, I don't really like it. No, you gotta come trivia. Like,
no, we
that's
we,
what we're doing.
And we would just always get like free beer and free pizza because we always got
we had
we always did well. Yeah. And yeah, we would just like come have free drinks or cheap. It was
beer,
also,
wings, and pizza.
Yeah, it was in the middle of nowhere, and the price for a drink was like two something.
I know we're like, insane. Oh, too expensive. Yeah, like, we gotta win that for free.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Different
I still
life.
Remember when the wings went up 25 cents a wing, and they were still like
livid.
75 cents a wing. We're like, no, this is a travesty.
I have like a vivid memory, which I still laugh about, of your brother being like, "Wait, so like how much now? Okay, it's like 50 cents a wing. So how much now is like 2 dozen wings? Like $50?
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he asked, and he's been on a previous episode, and the kid is honestly one of the smartest people I've ever met, and he has this amazing mind for history and social situation, social studies, if you will.
Court is a wise young man.
Oh,
that's how I've described him
so.
to others.
Yeah, and then we were sitting there, and I will never forget the look on the bartender's face when he was like, "So, all right, 50 cents a wing." And I want 12 wings. And he just looks so confused. And he just goes, "Would $10 cover it?"
Oh.
And the bartender looked at me just like with a face of like, is this a bit? Or what's going on? And I'm just like, oh, buddy, come here. Yeah, you're fine. We'll take care of it. Don't you worry.
Good old Jackie.
Oh.
Still one of my favorite bartenders.
She was the best.
New York bartenders are, well, you don't drink anymore, but... New York bartenders are not warm people generally.
No. It's they're also crazy.
If they do know you, then you've done something wrong. Like something has gone wildly awry. And I say this as someone who is like well known to several Lower East Side bartenders. Something has gone wrong in your life. You have made a mistake.
Yeah. Is being a regular New York? That's usually not a great thing, is it?
The darkest thing that's ever happened to me in recent memory that doesn't involve my family is that I was out with a group of coworkers, and we were persuaded, I don't even know how, to go to this dive bar on the Lower East Side called, I think, Horseshoe Bar, because it was the bar that they used to shoot scenes from Luke Cage. And that had just come out on Netflix, and everyone was, you know, jerking off to it. But... It's a good show.
Great. Oh, such a good show.
But we walked into this bar, which is just like a typical, like, grimy, crowded dive bar. And this man runs up to me. He's like, "Hey, gin and tonic." It was the bartender from the other grimy dive bar on the Lower East Side that I go to with friends from college.
Oh,
so I was
no.
clocked by a dive bar bartender in a separate dive bar.
Oh, that's fascinating.
No, this is bleak.
Oh, I love that.
Undercutting my own legend here. I like to present myself as slightly more elegant than that, but this is where we are today.
The closest I've ever got to being a regular was I used to go to a Dunkin' Donuts at a job every morning, and after only three times, they knew exactly what I ordered, and they just liked me. So I would, it's like in Midtown Manhattan, I would walk by, they would see me in the window, and by the time I got inside, it would be there. And it got to the point, they only made me pay for like half of my coffees. I miss them so much. They ended up moving. I left. It was a travesty.
That's sad. It's sad that you had to be split apart like that.
But yeah, Dunkin' Donuts was my regular. I wasn't proud of it, but man, they were awesome.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I am currently a noted guest of distinction at the Good One Chinese Food on Knickerbocker Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. Just three blocks from this very, very location. Every time I walk in, they look at me with derision and hand me my soup.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I don't do any. I've realized this. I live in New York City. I don't do so much.
Well, you're not very cool. I mean, no, I think
well, that checks out.
That's something I think we need to establish. Yeah, like, that firmly, checks is out. You're just not very cool.
Yeah.
I am fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You heard that dive bar story, right? That
was a story?
Yeah, a scary man knew me from one place in another place. That's like,
I guess technically there was a plot, an ascension.
I'm like an episode of Gossip Girl right now. Gossip Girl? What am I doing? I don't know. I can't explain that.
That was a face of pure disgust.
So I can't see your face?
No. Well, I feel like they know me so well, my dozen of listeners, and they can feel my vibes that I'm just giving out left and right.
I better be nice. I don't want your fans to come for me.
Yeah, you don't. They are one of strength and vengeance.
They're a mighty legion.
Mighty legion.
Like what? They're like six?
I like to think that there's at least a dozen. Just one dozen.
I have an important message for all of your fans. I just like to say this right off the bat. Hi, Georgianne.
She does not actually listen to the podcast.
Oh, wow.
She was trying for a while, and then she finally got to listen to Court's episode, and she's like, yeah, I listen to your podcast. And she kind of thinks it's over now. She's like, I did it.
Oh,
and well. I'm just like, yeah, because I initially was like, yeah, we'll figure it out, but it's just not for my mom. I guarantee you, she listened to it, she would stop having like when me and my brother did, it was a very silly episode. But I really feel like if she listens to some other stuff, it's like sometimes I get a little dark, sometimes I get a little inappropriate, she would just be real confused by some of the episodes.
I mean, I think that's okay. I think it's nice that she made an effort.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect.
And I also, like, I think I personally never want my mother to know any of the things that I create on the internet, like 100% of the time. Yeah. My greatest fear is that someday she, like, discovers Twitter. That will ruin me. I'll have to, like, move to Russia.
Yeah. It was bad enough when family members started, like, getting into Facebook, because it was just like, well, I'm, and because I still put up, it took a while, but I'm still putting up jokes and silly things that I think of, even though they're relatively inappropriate sometimes. And family members at first were like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And so everyone's cool now.
And now they just muted you.
Easier. Yeah. Well, hopefully that'd be great. But even, did you see my stupid message on Facebook, Thanksgiving with the sausage?
Yes, I did.
They put a piece of sausage on a plate that, and just how it, next
to a knife.
I mean,
they were teeing you up with that.
I mean, on top of that, it looked so much like a penis, and there was a knife next to it, and it looked like an uncircumcised penis. So I took a picture, I said, our appetizers were not circumcised. First of all, that's a funny line.
That's
secondly, it really looked like a big penis, and my mom saw that, and she was just like, Leif, really?
Now see,
just
my, like, question, yeah. I go in a different direction, because my question is, you have the sausage, you have the knife, did you perform the procedure?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
as soon as I was done, I should have taken more pictures.
It's merely hygienic,
but
it's important.
I was...
Take a moment.
Oh, and we're back.
Here we are.
But I wanted. Oh,
no. Go ahead. I was going to say, I think it's fascinating. I'm really fascinated by people who have family members on Facebook because everyone seems to have stories like this. My family, to a man, like, just rejects the whole concept. My mother called me one day. She's like, I need you to help me get on Facebook. I was like, Jesus, God, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. So I set her up a Facebook account. I talked her through logging into it. 3 hours later, she called me up. She said, people I know keep adding me on this Facebook. I don't like it. Delete it. So I don't know what she wanted it for.
Sure.
I'm going to choose to blame Rachel Ray for this.
Yeah.
As I do for pretty much anything that goes wrong in this world. But no, yeah. So my mother signed up for Facebook, discovered that Facebook was for having friends, and she said, oh no, no, thank you.
That's hilarious.
And she hasn't touched it since.
Yeah. My mom, at one point would like everything I posted and anything that, and she also thought every post was a message to her. And so I would just like write a joke or something and she'd be like, I don't get it. What's going on with this? And I'm just like, no, I had to explain to her, like, no, when you see this, it's for everyone to see. It's not necessarily an interaction. But then also since then, she has become much more busy, so she's not on the computer as much. She's, like, never home anymore.
Well, that's, I think, a generational thing, too. I mean, that sort of communication where it's just, like, one broadcasting to many.
Yeah.
That's not really something that that existed in a way for the general public.
Oh, definitely.
Until social media, until
my favorite is still,
and we're used to it. I mean, we grew up with the MySpace and the MySpace and the Friendster,
the
YouTubes,
yeah,
all of that.
ICQs and stuff.
The ICQs and the AIM.
I miss ICQ.
ICQ
was awesome.
ICQ was very confusing. ICQ was like, you can have a screen name, but it doesn't matter. Instead, you have to remember this like random sequence of like 5,000 numbers to find people, which it felt to me like they were like training us for the NSA or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, I liked it because you could go away or be invisible much easier. AIM took a long time to get on board with that because I didn't want to talk to everyone. I just wanted to talk to a few people.
Oh no, I wanted to be online, put up an away message, and then selectively disregard the people who messaged me anyway.
Nice.
Just get on there and just, you know, talk to Aaron Ashton and be like, haha, other people are messaging me, but I'm not talking to them. Sorry, Christine Devlon. I'm busy right now. I was a dick.
But not nearly long enough ago, my mom was at home and she says something about not being able to get, she's like, oh man, I really need to check something out. I was like, well, I was confused. She needed something on her work email. And I was like, I don't understand. I can get it for you. And she was like getting like, that's stupid. What? And I didn't understand why she was getting so worked up. She thought I was going to go to her office, like get into a car, drive to her office to get her computer because she didn't know her work email she could actually get at home. She thought her work email she could only get at work.
Oh, that is spectacular.
And it was really funny because like she was, and I somehow kept my cool for the most part, but I was giggling on the inside so hard.
Did you tell her? Because I kind of like that degree of sort of technological innocence still exists in the world.
I had to, because like she was freaking out and I was like, we can get your email right now.
It's like you discovered one of those lost tribes of the Amazon and then you like, gave him a Big Mac.
I know. I did ruin it, but I do have to say it was beneficial to my immediate well-being.
Well, I mean, that's, you know.
Because, yeah, she really thought I was offering to drive 40 minutes to her office, and I was not at all.
It's nice that she thinks so highly of you that you would do that for her.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's actually probably a benefit, because I was definitely not willing to do that, but yeah, that was not happening.
My mom still calls me on, like, a Wednesday evening after work, so it's, like, 6 o'clock at night in New York City, and she's like, Ev, there's sticks all over the yard. It's been windy. There's sticks everywhere. Can you come pick them up? And I sort of like grumble and I'm like, all right, well, I'll come out this weekend. Well, why can't you come now? Why can't I come now at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night to pick up sticks in your yard in New Jersey? And she just like, she hasn't really wrapped her head around. My mother hasn't been to New York since I think like 1973. So she really hasn't wrapped her head around the idea that it's not close.
Yeah, and especially not having cars like this far out, it takes 4 hours to get back.
Yeah.
And like my mom, because whenever I say how long it has taken to get me to get back to my mom's, she has just been like, it blows her away. So I'm like, yeah, on a map, we're real close. But first we need to get on a train to take us to another train station to then take us into the deep recesses of New Jersey.
And the end then, of the line.
Yeah, as far as you can go. And then still.
Just keep on going.
It's a 40-minute car ride. And I'm just like, that is every time I have to, like, I go back to my mom. I'm like, that's why I don't, I try to go back as much as possible. That's not true. No, that's, I go back times a year.
I live with you. I know this is a lie.
I go back like 3 times a year, and it's so close physically, but it's such a pain. Like, it's not a day trip anymore.
No,
without a car, it's not a day trip.
I mean, it can be, but it's such a production. I went out, I went out on the 8th because I had to go out there to vote. waste of time.
Oh,
darkness reigns. But I went out there to vote, and I did that in one day, and it was taxing.
Yeah,
and expensive.
Hours both ways.
And then and like once you go through all of that, you go through this like these Herculean labors just to get there, and then you're in Sussex County.
Yeah,
which like, is like the sort of the worst prize of all to win.
Oh, shout out to all our Sussex County listeners. Hey, run for your lives.
Oh, just stay where you are. It's safe there.
Oh, man. Are you ready for the definitive Evan DeSimone interview?
I feel as though I've been preparing for this for some part of my life. So yes, bring it on.
Before we get started, you actually did do a storytelling show, or just was it a mic or a show?
I've done a couple of like storytelling shows here and there. I tend to get conscripted to fill in for people at the last minute. I did a show a couple months ago, literally because I was there and someone had to cancel, and he was like, "But I know Evan's there, so he'll do it." And
Listen, half the battle's showing up. That's awesome.
I mean, as long as you're an obsessive attention seeker, you too can entertain.
So that probably answers the question. I was going to say, what got you to... Because a lot of times, like, you have to be willing to do it. Like, why did you do it? Why did you do storytelling or anything like that?
I mean, this is an interesting one. I mean, there's like a long answer and a short answer. And the short answer is Twitter made me do it. Because I know a lot of people through... Mostly, you know, being a reporter, being on Twitter, I know a lot of people who are comedians or who perform sort of as a sideline, because we're all just like narcissistic attention-seeking maniacs.
Who? Us?
I, present company accepted,
I
of course.
Do. I forgot the word I was going to say in that voice. What would I say? I do...
Seek attention in a narcissistic fashion?
Well,
that's my thing.
No, I was going to say, I do declare. That's not right, though.
Oh, dear. What is, that's, no, that's not.
That's not right at all.
Let's not do that.
All right, anyway.
But no, yeah, no, I think, honestly, just, when I'm put on the spot, if someone really wants me to, I can usually think of something sort of amusing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind attention, but it's something that I regularly seek out.
Sure.
I get my validation mostly from the internet.
Gotcha. So then that actually answered it. So yeah, that's good. Ooh, I'm very excited for a few of these questions.
Oh, dear.
Because even as much as I know you, some of these questions, I'm like, oh, I actually don't know.
I am uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Good.
Where do you go on a first date? I'm asking for a friend.
I am your only friend, so this is sort of a circular problem to have.
Oh, no.
I don't have a clever answer for this. I just prefer something really simple and low key because I'm only good at one thing in life, and that thing is talking.
Yeah.
So I need to be somewhere quiet.
Wait, you think this is your best?
Not talking to you.
Skill?
Yeah, I'm bringing your A game for you. No, I mean, I think that I am at my best when I can sort of talk things out.
Sure.
I think I'm mildly amusing. I have semi-engaging things to say. I haven't really lived up to that tonight because, again, I don't feel that you deserve it. But yeah, so I just honestly, just like a quiet drink or coffee. Coffee's good. you know, drinks are dicey.
Yes,
because that could go south pretty quickly.
Yeah, when I used to drink, I had that very strict 1-2-10 rule. So it'd be like having fun and then nightmare.
I like coffee. I don't like dinner. I don't like dinner because then you're locked in for a very long time.
As much as dinner's rough. I also eat I love eating.
Oh, yeah, nobody wants to see me. I don't want people to see me eat. Like, I don't need that.
No, I like black out and just like I wake up and like all the food's gone and like someone's dead and people are like, well, I don't know.
That sounds like a good first date to me. I don't know.
Listen. Oh, I have a new. I don't know. You haven't heard a joke I do.
You have a joke that I haven't heard?
Yeah.
How did I get so lucky?
Lots of jokes. I haven't told this joke in so long. But it ends with,
You should probably tell me the first part before the end part, and then that's how we'll know it's a joke.
Sure. So I have the joke where I said I brought a lovely young lady home, and as I open up the door, because I am, sorry, in fact, a outdoors person / a camper, I got back from a camping trip. I dropped stuff off. I went out, met up with some friends, met a lovely person, came back. And when we opened up the door, what was on my bed was a hatchet, knives, rope, and duct tape, which is, I mean, the basics for a murder kit. But the joke is, who am I to there's no argument for that. And who am I to disappoint? So we killed my roommate.
Oh, RIP me.
Yeah, you made it.
Oh, and then you don't kill me off nearly enough.
And then the tag was, guys, second date, because God knows that body won't dispose of itself.
Aw. You know, I'm willing to give my life for love.
Somebody asked, like, is that weird? I'm like, no, you kidding me? He'll love it. I wish I did it better and not, like, in this world. Like, if you saw me,
I feel like the optimal audience
better
for this is not like just me in a room by myself. But yeah, I like it.
Stand up one on one is not how it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I'd like to see a little more. Could you just like do me a set right now?
Are there any nerds in the audience?
No.
Any Doctor Who fans?
No.
You're gonna have to trust me on this one. It's a good joke.
Okay, we'll call it a night now.
All right.
That was a good effort. I appreciate that.
So that was a bad. Actually, that is my,
I think,
favorite
it was a
joke.
Nice moment for us. You tried to be funny. I stopped you from being funny because I'm that person.
That is. Have you seen me do stand up
at
all?
I have seen you do stand up. I saw you do stand up at a bar, the name of which I cannot remember.
Yes, my birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I've seen you stand up a couple times. You never invite me, which actually is, I think, sort of I'm going to say a festering wound in our friendship.
I don't invite anyone.
Yeah.
Because I'm super shy about it. And that's really it. Shy. And like, I feel like I'm not quite there yet to like start having more people put like more time. Like, I'll get everyone, like some people once or twice, cool. But now it's like, let me really work on this and I'll get back to you when I get new stuff.
Okay. I'm starting to give you a hard time about it. But I understand that. I find it very, I'm like very comfortable doing a lot of things, especially performing or really anything. But I don't like people who I know who are close to me to see me do it. I don't like people. I put a ton of writing on the internet for other people to read, but I do not like to see it read by people that are close to me. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's strange. When I talk to friends and they've like listened to the podcast and they're like, yeah, it's great. And it means the world to me that people have taken the time to listen to it. But I always get like for a couple seconds just like, oh, really? Oh, and I get real weird about it.
Well, because it's like, you know, you've sort of like taken something out of your brain and you're putting it out there in the world. And it's fine if anonymous people appreciate it because, you know, you can take them or leave them and you don't ever have to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if people in your life don't like something you've done, then that's obviously
it's
that means
painful.
That you were a bad person and that you should bury yourself alive.
Actually, that reminds me. My brother saw me do stand-up for the first time recently because he usually lives far away. And it was just a mic, but that was it. That was all we could do. So he came to a mic and I was terrified because he's now known me for 3 years I've said that incorrectly. He's known me for his whole life, but I've been doing comedy now for four, like 4 or 5 years. I've been doing stand-up for a year and a half, and like I've talked about it and been in love with it for so long that he has heard me go on and on and on about it.
So you feel like you've set an expectation.
Exactly. And it's like one of the first times I was like, oh, I need to do well in his eyes. And also knowing him, I could have gone up there and done like totally bombed, and he would have been like, dude, that was killer. I did okay, but I tried something new up top. It didn't go well. And if my first joke doesn't go well, I've said it once, I'll say it a million times, I physically deflate. And he's like, it was still good, but it could have been better. I was so weak.
I mean, I think that's kind of normal though, because the people, at least for me, I don't know if you feel this way, but the people that can sort of like destroy me the most easily are people I care about.
Oh, yeah.
Who will see me do something wrong or do something poorly and feel compelled to be nice to me about it. That to me is the worst feeling in the world. That's worse than someone like telling you you're awful. That's worse than someone not like that's the worst thing is when someone feels bad for you.
But
that's just my like weird wasp sensibilities.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Yeah, it gets weird when it's with friends. Yeah, expectations. I've done my, like, I have a couple bits that are real weird, or I'll like try something new or be silly. And I used to do it in front of people I didn't know because I'm very shy, so I didn't know anyone. But now that I know people, the rooms that I know more people in, I get terrified. I'm like, I need to do well today. But anyway, next question. What movie have you seen the most?
I've been thinking about this for a while because I can't quite decide.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... In my youth, I went through a period where I watched inexplicably the Jetsons movie just over and over and over, day after day. It's not good.
That wasn't the crossover with the Flintstones, was it?
No.
No, okay.
It's a different one.
So I've seen that
one. There are a couple. I was not a Flintstones fan. I also hate the Honeymooners. I feel like there's a validating through line there.
That's
I hate the Honeymooners. But no, I watched it.
It wasn't made for us.
Oh, God, no. It wasn't made for like people, you know, in this century. But I get very angry. I was asking someone the other day. They do a Honeymooners marathon, I think, on New Year's Day?
Possibly. I have no idea.
And I take this as a personal affront every year. I feel very attacked by it.
Oh, God. That's not the right way to start the year.
Just like, oh, here we go.
Oh, no.
But no, I watched this movie day after day after day because I liked it, or I don't really know what compelled me to do this. But then one day I realized it drove my mother insane. She hated it, but she also hated to stop me. So I was like, Oh, this is good.
You made her choose her poison.
And that was the day that I discovered passive aggression, and I never looked back.
Oh, amazing.
The proper movie I've watched the most often is probably Metropolitan, which is a great movie that no one's ever seen.
I've never seen
That's
it.
Fine.
Fair. Could you put a number on any of those?
I watched the Jetsons movie approximately infinity times.
Okay.
And I watch Metropolitan at least once every 2 weeks.
Hmm. Infinity, that's top five with the amount of movies people have seen on this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
I win. No, I've probably watched Metropolitan about 30 times.
Nice. You know what movie I've seen the most?
Oh, wait. Is it, I believe...
Yeah.
If memory serves...
Mm-hmm.
Spaceballs.
Yes.
Were you introduced to it when you were way too young?
Yeah.
Because your dad loves sci-fi and the fusion of sci-fi and comedy. I like this because it's part of your comedy origin story, and I feel like you take it very personally when I just gently reminded you that you say this on every single episode.
Every podcast. And every week when I say, I'm like, oh, people have said this, and I'll sneak it in. And I know I do it, and I try not to, but it's just part of the organic conversation, so it just has to come out.
Well, I will say, every time you bring it up, I think about Spaceballs and how good it is and how I don't watch it enough.
Yeah.
Because it's terrific. You got Rick Moranis.
Oh, so good.
Who we didn't get nearly enough of.
Yeah, John Candy.
John Candy, Joan Rivers.
Oh, wait.
May she rest. She's the robot.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, it's a terrific cast. It's a great movie.
Wait, I don't know if I knew that.
How do you not recognize the voice of Joan Rivers?
I did recognize it. I thought it was just someone kind of being...
It's Joan
Rivers. Like her character. That's hilarious. That makes me like the movie that much more.
I wish that Joan Rivers had done more like Mel Brooks things, though. I feel like that was a pairing that could have really gone places.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. But I think that was it. I don't think she never did anything else with him I can think of.
I can't think of anything else I've seen her in...
Well, honestly, but she was just in everything for a while.
Yeah, that's so. I love that I've said it entirely too much. Yeah. I do.
What I've done here is I've done something that I've always wanted to do, which is that I took something very deeply personal to you that you love, and I made it about Joan Rivers. So I feel that my duty here is done.
Hey, listen, I'm all about it. She's one of my favorite comedians.
She's hilarious. She will rise again.
Oh, she will. Just like Jesus.
Exactly like Jesus.
Oh, I'm very excited. Oh, no, not the next one. I jumped ahead. What's your last tweet?
What's my last tweet?
Yeah. It's got to be the last tweet. It's a pinned tweet.
Ah, damn.
It's got to be the last one.
It's probably not going to be something good because I have been slacking today.
I think mine's the same one it's been for the last like 3 episodes.
We got to work on your Twitter presence.
I do it great for like a month and then I stop for like 3 months.
Okay, so it depends on what you're looking for in a tweet. My last tweet chronologically was an at reply to some random person who follows me. And it just says correct because I agreed with him. But my last actual like tweet, was earlier today. And it says, honestly, I just hope Trump kills us all before James Cameron starts releasing all those Avatar sequels he keeps promising.
That's a really good tweet. I actually saw that earlier.
Thank you. I stand by that. I feel strongly that that is probably my most closely held political position at this point in time.
That's amazing. I genuinely don't remember what my last tweet was, but I'm assuming it's the same one that I've been sitting on for entirely too long. Let's take a quick look. But so blah blah blah. Thank you.
You have a smartphone now. I don't know how you're not more active on Twitter because you're always saying amusing things, and Twitter is perfect, I think, for a comedian. I'm vamping for you while you look for your tweet.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Here to help. Little showbiz lingo in there for you.
I don't even know how to check just my tweet. Oh, me. There's an option that's literally me.
Yep, it says your name.
Let's see. The last one. Retweet.
Do I have to do this for you?
Podcast. Retweet, podcast. Retweet. Oh, God. The last real tweet that I created was November 8th, the day of the election. Don't spoil the election for me on social media. I'm taping it at home. # election day. Also, that's a good tweet. Facebook killed. Twitter, nothing.
That is a good tweet. You need to... Twitter's a little different because Facebook has like an algorithm and Twitter has an algorithm that no one uses. So it's just like if you don't see it in that moment, it doesn't go anywhere.
You know, I'm not that bad. I'm like looking at some of these. I'm not that bad at Twitter. I just need to do it more often.
I feel like Twitter would be good for you because I'm going to talk about Twitter now. You have no choice but to listen to me talk about Twitter.
And done.
Can't stop me. No.
Welcome to Post.
I feel like Twitter is great for a comedian because if it were me, it'd be where I would put all of my sort of aborted half-form jokes.
Yeah,
that's why I got started on Twitter. I would think of funny things while I was working in my boring office job, and I would think, like, who can I text this to? And obviously, I didn't hate any of my friends enough to subject them to these, like, sort of unrelated thoughts, so I just started to throw... This was back when you still had to, like, text a number to tweet, and I started, like, throwing them at Twitter, and then they would, like... I don't even know who was following me at the time, but they would get a little engaged. I was like, oh, this is fun, and it sort of... You form a habit.
Yeah, that's what I need. I always like do because I do. I just throw out like random ideas. People aren't, and it's always like the weird things that I don't imagine.
You say someone. A lot of weird shit, and like humor on Twitter isn't like a humor on Twitter is not like a fully formed joke. Humor on Twitter is just like throwing out your weird, like stillborn fetus thoughts.
That's
into the world.
It's the story of my life,
and then people love them.
Yeah. Uh, there's just a lot going on. I was thinking, like, because we've been talking, we always talk a lot about my weird existential crisis where I'm like, who am I on stage? And I think I'm finally getting there. And it is, it's just me being me, which is just real weird for people in the city. Because we talk about, like, I just tell jokes about bears and lit camping and outdoors stuff and going on dates that were like tracking bears. And as is the joke you heard earlier, that amazing joke earlier.
It was an excellent joke.
Where it's just really real weird.
It. 5 out of 5 stars.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
No, I think that's good. I think, okay, I have two things to say about this. One is that I think the hardest thing to do, this is like some real Oprah shit right here. I think the hardest
thing to do. You're getting a car and you're getting a car.
Yeah, that. I'm giving you a car.
Yeah, did it.
Also, I am extremely rich now. But no, is that I think the hardest thing to do when you're performing is to do exactly what you just said, is to sort of get to a point where you can just be you.
Yeah.
Comfortably. Like, I don't think a lot of people succeed with a persona.
It's tough.
But also, it's a lot easier, at least, to sort of manifest a character versus really sort of tapping into who you are.
Well, yeah, it's easier because, like, if you're on stage, because when I first started, I had a lot of trouble starting because I was always so nervous. And when I really started on and off for 2 years, when I really, really started stand up, I saw a few people, including one of my close friends now, Brandon Scott Wolf. He has this amazing delivery that I wanted to be it. Like, I wanted it. I basically started doing stand up like him. It just came off totally differently because I just don't have the same jokes he does. Like, he's an amazing joke writer. I have stories. However, it doing that, I was almost like a character on stage because it was not my style. Like, I'm strictly stories. More so a storyteller than anything else. I punch up the stories, but everything is, my best stuff are stories. But it allowed me to like disassociate myself. So if like somebody didn't like it, be like, oh yeah, it's a character.
It's so like give yourself a little personality disorder.
But it's like now when I do it, if I don't do well, it's like, well, that's me. I'm terrible. Me, the person, am a terrible person. And it just took a while to get away from that mindset. But now that I'm doing me, it's also funnier because I can tell a joke or just, I can, at this point, there are some days if I'm in a decent enough mood that I'm not also like manic high, which I'm a nightmare when I do stand up and I'm manic high. But if I'm like in the sweet spot, I can just get on stage and like communicate with someone in the front row and have the room rolling. Those are rare, don't get me wrong, but I can do it when I'm in that sweet spot.
Yeah, but that's what you're working toward. Because I mean, you are naturally, unless this thing nice about you, it's going to make me annoyed. I'm going to do it. Give me a look. No, you are naturally.
I'm looping this. Just remember that.
I'm not going to do it now.
No!
I refuse. Are naturally, like, I think a pretty charismatic and a pretty sort of engaging person. And if you can strip away like the artifice of performance to get to that, I think that is exactly it. That's your sweet spot. That's why you're so good at this.
Go on. Because
you're very easy. I've said this before. I think it's worth noting again. You're very easy to talk to, and you're also sort of like very generous with people. You don't need to always have the stage. And I think that is a really important quality in a host. And it also is sort of an ingratiating thing when you're a performer.
And how's my hair?
Your hair,
Don't, I mean, in fuck what, it up.
In what sense are we talking about your hair? Because historically speaking, your hair is in great shape. If we're looking at like a more narrow subsection of like the week, I would say today is not your best day.
Today is not a best day.
You got that weird like braid thing happening in the front where it like does the loop. I don't like that.
Oh yeah, you don't like that.
But if we're going all the way back to like the Norwegian fro,
oh boy,
then this is like you are having the best hair of your life.
When right I looked now. Like Carlos Valderrama,
it was a real was special time for all of us.
But as you can tell, I don't take compliments very well. But thank you, that is very nice of you.
That is the last time I'll ever say something nice to you. And when this is over, I'm going to find something in your room that you love and destroy it.
Goodbye, computer and podcast. Oh, but you're on it.
Oh, I can't destroy myself. Oh,
now I'm holding it hostage.
Bird painting it is.
Oh, that's fine. Then you have to deal with court.
Court is large. Whatever. We'll let it be a surprise.
Oh, I'll never find it. But yes, thank you for the compliment. It's very nice. I'm terrible at taking compliments. But I'm going to dish out another one because I know you hate them too.
Not dwell on it. No, we're destroying our brand.
I'm just going to say the same thing.
All right, you personal guys. Brand.
Yeah. No, I mean, I swear. Don't listen to him. all right, next question. No, but thank of course, you. That's
no.
very nice.
No, you
and
know
also, like, you are my, like, you, good friend Brian McGrath of the show. A couple other people are my sounding boards for mostly everything I do, and manic highs, manic lows. You guys actually listen to all of it and give me legit feedback.
It's
like,
a
straightforward.
I have voluntarily lived with you for years,
which you are the only person to say that.
I'm a survivor.
No, there are
like Beyonce.
I guess technically three other people who have chosen to live with me, but you are a survivor. I wish I knew more of that song, so I would just start singing.
I know I was gonna do it. I was gonna do a little like spoken word, but yeah. I don't remember it.
Oh, this is the question I'm very excited to ask you. Very excited. What is your favorite impression to do?
Oh God, I am not a good impressionist at all. I do my mom a lot, but I just do like a weird bird noise that isn't words, which says a lot about our relationship. I do not have a deep deck of impressions. I can't do accents. That's why I can't do languages.
That's why I'm excited. I'm excited to ask this. Let's see. I have not worked on one. I tried doing Christopher Walken, which you will, well, everyone heard last week. You in real time will hear it. Evan in real time will hear it tomorrow.
Ooh.
Where I do, because I said a while back I would try to work on my Christopher Walken. It got worse.
Walken's got a tough worse. One because it seems like it should be easy because it's so distinctive, but I feel like it's secretly hard.
What I need to do is just sit down and like watch. I don't like taking the time to have if I study someone long enough, like I can do my brother insanely so. Like I can sound exactly like him and even certain manner, well, me and him have the same mannerisms either way. But it's like if I look at something long enough, I can do it, but I just don't want to do the fucking that's a silly thing for me to say. I don't like any of it. I don't like anything I said. I'm going to just go to the
next
question.
Sad day. I feel like I've let you down. I'm searching my memories to see if there's anything I can do.
It doesn't have to be like, it could just
aside
be like
from
a concept.
Like, when I get real drunk, I do like compulsively a weird British accent, but I think that's just because like it makes people do what you want them to do.
Nice.
Because American people love to do what British people say because I think they're fancy.
Yeah.
Like it's gotten me out of a lot of scrapes, but I can't like access that currently.
What's the, we do, that's good. I fucked that question up.
My
head's all over the
place.
No,
I delivered nothing. You brought a question that is totally effective, and I was like, nope.
Yeah,
nothing
I feel like I'm all over the board today, and I feel like even how I'm talking is a little bit slower. I don't know.
We're both a little off our game. It's Monday. It's cold out.
Yeah.
I, like, came home in a whirlwind of frazzled nonsense.
Yeah. I have to say, though, the thing is, like, yeah, I'm a little off my A game, but this is also, like, the most relaxed.
Well, I'm a soothing presence.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if there's one thing you can say about me, that guy.
Soothing.
He's like the chamomile tea of people.
Maybe that's it. I feel like we're not even, like, doing a podcast. We're just getting ready for work tomorrow, just like getting food ready and just like putting groceries away.
Yeah, I mean, I ate some pasta.
Yeah, it's like not, and because I just feel relaxed, like way, like I don't have to be on. I feel like,
yeah, I wish I could make you feel more pressure and fear, because I think that would be a power position for me.
Fair. But hey, what is the magic word?
Please. I'm a traditionalist. I think that manners matter. Despite my aggressive rudeness toward you, I think that politeness is important for two reasons. One, I think it's good to be kind to people, and two, aggressive politeness is a great way to undermine people that don't want to do things. You can literally just out polite someone until they have to do what you want, even if they don't want to. You can make them forgive you for like terrible stuff if you seem super sad. You can just manners. It's our greatest. It's the greatest weapon of genteel people.
That's my favorite answer to this question ever. Turns out I'm a genie. You get 3 wishes in 10 seconds. Go.
I want happiness, I want perfect health, and I want the ability to succeed at anything that I attempt to do.
Those were very well thought out answers. You've been thinking about them, haven't you?
I've been thinking about this for a long time. I'm a big fan of, like, the genie myth.
Sure.
But I've always had a problem with it because it's always presented as this, like, parable about... It's never... Like, think about every genie story you've ever heard. That you always wish for something, and then it goes horribly awry because, like, the genie is terrible and literal, or because you didn't think through the phrasing. And I think those are all meant to teach you a lesson that I think is stupid, which is that you should be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I get it, but also, no, you should always want more things and aspire to more things. And so I've always believed that I could trick my way through that with clever wording, but the simplest thing to do, really, is just go broad and ask for, like, giant qualitative things.
Gotcha. Well... The answer was actually more money, so you were wrong, but that's fine.
I wished for success, so I can succeed at making money.
Don't you semantics me.
Oh, just because you know
I have vocabulary that of someone who's in middle school doesn't mean you can talk circles around me. It totally means
it does. That's what I'm for.
What?
That's what I'm for. That's the thing I'm for.
Who is right?
I am.
Time travel. When, where, why?
Oh, God. Where? When, where, why? Is this like... I have questions because I realize that you are a nerdy scholar of time travel-y things.
Who? Me?
If I travel...
I like dole out wedgies and fix cars on the reg, bro.
Yeah. Well, you did fix the bathroom one time.
I'm actually really good with hands-on stuff.
Yeah, this is like an undermining thing because you're actually super handy.
Yeah.
But
that's growing up in the woods and just that's what I did for because my dad was a carpenter. So it's like as a young kid, I'd just be like fixing stuff.
You've got a powerful set of skills. But this is about me and not you.
Mm.
I want to know before I decide on this.
Yeah.
Is this the kind of time travel where if I travel back into the past, I can like erase myself from history or like.
See,
somehow, like, destroy American democracy by, like, kicking a tree in the year 702.
I kind of leave it open. There's not, like, no real rules. But I am of, and this has no effect on what your definition is, so you can lay it out. I personally believe that you can't do that because, multiverse aside, if you go to our timeline and you go back, you can't change it. It's impossible because... It happened, and time is linear.
So we're operating in Paradox's impossible time travel.
Not necessarily.
Like, I can't be my own granddad or, like, murder myself.
Well, you can't murder yourself. You could be your own granddad, but you would have just been like, you would have been like, oh, no, that was me. Like, you'd go back and find that out and be like, oh, no, what have I done?
Well, that's not how DNA works, though. Okay, I'm comfortable with this model. I just wanted to be sure.
Because
I would be very wary about traveling into the past.
It also can be anything you want. Like, I've also said in the past, like, my favorite was to go back to when I was born, just run in, like as I was being born, when the doctor, like, slaps my ass, just run in, do it for him, be like, this is your future, like, in front of my parents to them and run away.
I like that.
Because then, like, 30 years later, they'd be like, what's going on?
Oh, God.
What is this? And it would just be, like, this weird thing in the back of their head forever.
Oh, I like that. I like that you just chose to mess with your parents. Well,
every week I try to come up with a new one, but that one's still to this day my favorite. Like, I really would love to do that.
Yeah.
I have that power, and that's what I would do. This is why people don't give me powers.
That's pretty good. I've just, to be really banal, I think I would just want to see my own future because, again,
that's a good one.
In the same vein as the genie myth, we're not supposed to know our own future because, A, I think just because it's, like, narratively complicated,
mm-hmm.
And people don't want to write it, but also because there's some sort of, like, weird social taboo about free will and not, you know, making decisions without foreknowledge. And I'm not into that. Like, I think perfect foreknowledge would be great because then I could make smarter choices. And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't want to go to the past because you can either go to your own past, which is boring. Like, what am I going to go to the 80s? No, thank you. Shoulder pads. Or you have to go back to like the weird dysentery past where nobody had dentists. I have no interest in that.
I like how that's where it starts. It's like, well, that.
Yeah,
that
there's one, well, literally, there's like, in my mind, there's like the 80s and then there's like history times.
Sure. I got you. Recommend something for me.
Recommend something for you. Shaving.
Oh.
No, I like the beard. It's growing on me.
Thank you. Hey, it's growing on me too.
Oh no! I set that up so perfectly. I'm unhappy about it.
Oh, I will never do that again. I hate myself for doing the air horn noise. However, that was great.
That was nice. It was a nice moment.
I was happy with it. But yeah, recommend.
Recommend. Do you want a cultural object or do you want...
I've been asking for movies or books.
Movies.
But I think it's a more fun question to just say, just recommend.
Just keep it completely
something.
Open-ended?
Yeah. Like, there could be something you're just totally in right now and be like, do this. Trust me.
This is not something I'm in, but this is something I've been wondering. Have we ever watched the movie Starship Troopers?
Have I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
I saw that in theaters.
That was like something I thought would be. Have I ever made you watch the movie Tank Girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was one of the first movies.
Sci-fi movie night.
From Sci-fi movie night.
Well, I'm just failing all over the place. I feel like I've shared everything with you that I think we would mutually enjoy.
And most of the stuff we've seen or like together.
We are just together too much.
Yeah.
I think.
He's leaning back thinking.
I'm trying to be thoughtful here because I fancy myself like a scholar of culture and I'm not sure what I have to offer you that you haven't already experienced. I feel like we've led parallel lives.
Yeah, and we talk about stuff like that all the time, like what we're reading, watching, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I have like 5 of your books in my room I need to return. Your books, my room. My room, your books? No. I borrowed several books from you.
I was like, but probably they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like there were a bunch in the living room at one point. Now there's a behind that bed. There's like 3 huge stacks. Guys, I beat up a nerd and stole all his books. And every time I beat up a nerd, I keep their book like a trophy. And then I also use the pages to wipe up all the oil from when I'm fixing cars.
Yeah, Leif's a bully.
Leif
is like any bully, like a John Hughes 80s movie villain.
Ooh, I like that. That's the nice thing you've ever said to me.
That is not the nicest thing I've ever said to you. I said that other nice thing that was actually nice.
Oh, and that's recorded. Oh,
yep. Yeah, I'm stuck with that.
Yeah, forever. You're stranded on a desert island. What do you bring?
What do I bring? Okay, this is another question that I have serious feelings about. All of these I have feelings about. Because I've asked this question to people before. And people are bad, and they say stupid things like, I would bring my family. I would bring my dog. You know, your family is not a thing. Family is not an object. Those are people. Can't bring them.
Yeah. Also, don't want to.
Nope. No. Well, I also find that unrelatable because I do not want my family to be around me ever.
Yeah. Do they come with a boat? Because if not, no. Hard pass.
I would want to bring, a source of electrical power.
Okay.
I don't know. Is there a way I can somehow create like a Wi-Fi connection?
Sure.
A computer and some food. And then like, that's really all I need to live a perfectly happy life.
There you go.
I'm not going to like hunt for things and spear fish. I'm not that kind of guy. But as long as I have like a solid supply of canned goods and a Wi-Fi hookup.
We're good.
Desert Island sounds great.
That's awesome. That's vacation. Let's do it.
I will take that.
You already answered how my hair was. I didn't like the answer.
I'm just kidding. No, I feel that I was unkind. I feel your hair has come a long way. You have come, okay, like you have come like a medium way in life, but your hair has made it.
My hair has a story of its own.
You know that song, you know, started from the bottom, now I'm here?
Yeah, it was but about
hair.
My
It was about
hair.
Your hair, right? They wrote that, yeah, about your hair.
Yeah, it started at the bottom, and then I cut it, and now it's here.
Now it's hair.
Now it's
a little too punny.
It was.
I regret that. Cut
this
out.
There's never enough
pun. Please edit out any times where I accidentally make puns, or sort of on purpose, half-heartedly make puns. Just cut out all the puns.
I'm just going to put this on loop for the whole episode.
How much, like, I wanted to ask you this. I'm gonna ask you a counter question, because I meant to do this earlier.
Okay.
How much editing do you do with this? Like, if I just, like, set our address right now,
oh,
would you have to
don't.
Edit that out?
I would edit it out.
Okay.
I'd rather you did
it. I was going to do it throughout the show just to irritate you. And then I was like, oh, what if he just, like, publishes it?
I'm really happy you said it now, because if you started doing it now, just be like, oh, bye.
Yep. We're done. Over. I guess I will not do that. Also, because I don't want to be murdered in my sleep.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if actually...
My
no.
legion of 12 will find you. Aha!
I take that back. If your 12 apostles want to murder me, the time I would like to be murdered most is in my sleep. Please don't make me see it coming. That sounds stressful. Just do it. Just do it while I'm asleep. I won't mind.
So, surprise death. Noted. What is the deal with, like, existence and stuff?
Oh, man. I don't know, but I'm getting a little concerned that it's all coming to an end anyway, so I guess we don't need to worry about it.
Fair. What is your apocalyptic survival plan?
Not gonna.
You're not gonna survive?
No, I'm not doing that. I've watched a lot of sort of like post-apocalyptic media. I've seen a lot of like dystopian YA novels. I've seen a lot of zombie movies. Let me tell you something. I am built only to live in this time. I have asthma. I am allergic to literally everything. I don't like physical activity, and the sun burns me in 19 seconds. I am born to live only at the dawn of the 21st century, when there's like climate control, inside things, and Wi-Fi. The minute the internet goes out, I want a cyanide pill. I'm not going to deal with that.
That question was actually very much influenced by you and many conversations we've had, but also to this day, which is one of my favorite jokes of all time. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I don't.
About
remind me.
Apocalyptic survival being compared to, I mean, if I say it, it'll just be the whole thing, but compared to like retirement plans.
Oh, yes.
Feel free to say it the proper way, but to this day it's one of my favorite jokes.
No, I don't.
Or even the,
oh god, I think this was like, no, this, oh, that was,
it's old, it's,
yeah,
old,
that was a long time ago.
It's something that
I don't even remember the setup, but I do remember saying it a couple of times. It was just that this was back when we were like 22 or 23, and like it didn't seem like the world was actually going to end tomorrow. Yeah. But like everyone was getting really into like zombie fiction, and everyone, yep, had like a zombie plan and a zombie survival guide. Everyone was, every party you went to, you had to hear someone talk about how they would escape from the zombie apocalypse. And so it's like, it, for this generation, like, we're never going to have retirement accounts, so instead we have like zombie survival plans.
Oh, it's such a good joke.
I think it was a thing of its moment. I think it had it lived in a time.
I think it's almost, it's, well,
like a, very much a product of like the early Obama years.
Yeah. Maybe it's more so that it's because I'm surrounded by comedians, so that joke has way more, like, because none of us have a lot of stuff going on in our 401ks, but that, like, we all have zombie apocalypse, like, especially creative people. Like, I love talking about zombie apocalypse stuff with people.
Oh,
and
know,
like, we
is,
all have
this is totally a generational thing. Like, so people, yeah, two guys were talking about it on the subway this morning about what they would do if zombies happened. And I was like, you would get eaten. You are wearing Brooks Brothers. You are not equipped to deal with any sort of survival scenario that cannot be solved with an MX Black card. And it's okay to just embrace that about yourself. Yeah.
I'm worried because I would hope to be one of the first people to go, because I think if I wasn't, I think I would do okay with it. Like, I would be able to survive.
You're pretty well equipped. Like, you have a lot of skills that would be useful.
Yeah, but it would just be so boring. I would still do it because, like, I have a tendency to be real stubborn, and I'd probably just be like, I'm going to survive. But if I could just die quickly, that would be great.
I don't know. Yeah, it just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
To survive.
It's a lot of work.
There's, like, the running and the foraging, and at some point you have to, like, kill something with an axe, which just, no.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of, and then, like, okay.
I would be so good at it.
First of all, we live in New York, so we're definitely going to die.
Probably.
Like, it's impossible to get out here. It's way too dense. But, like, even if you make it to the countryside, then you what? Then you just, like, live off the land like a farmer? I don't want to be a farmer. I want to be a zombie farmer. That sounds awful. That's, like, two of the worst things. The only thing worse than being eaten by a zombie would be, like, having to farm.
Those are, like, two of my favorite things. I love zombies. I love farming.
I hate both of those things. I don't like either of them.
As I said, I'm genuinely made for that.
Yeah. It's funny. We're comically mismatched.
Because people always ask, because I always say, like, oh, I've known Marin forever. He's almost like family. They always ask, like, oh, he's got to be like, oh, just like you. I'm like, me and you have no business even knowing each other.
We have similar sort of personality DNA.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because it's like what you said earlier. Like, a big thing for us is talking, having fun, making jokes, and we're both relatively articulate. And that, for both of us, is, like, the most important thing. And so that outweighs all the facts that we were like, oh yeah, no, we are totally different people. But it's that alone that we're like, oh yeah, we're good.
We also, I say this about you, but also I think a couple of other people we know, we grew up in a very specific sort of place.
Oh yeah.
Where we were a specific sort of person.
Yeah.
And so, like, there are these unifying qualities that sort of overreach our individual personalities. And I think it's exactly that. It's like, we're good at making, like, spending a lot of time doing not very much. And sort of just rattling on and talking.
It's also funny because we weren't really friends until after we moved out.
I kind of resent that because we were friends. We were friends in college and I knew you at school. We were friendly.
We were friendly in high school. In college is when we became friends. Yeah, because we were both like stuck at terrible schools all alone.
Why is it so
cold
here? Yeah. I hate this place.
And I still remember the one week you're like, I need to get home. I was like, I will come pick you up as long as I get to leave this place. And you're
I
like,
was
okay.
So excited. I was like,
it was great.
This was like sophomore year, I think. I hated everyone in college.
We went to school upstate New York in the middle of nowhere.
Sorry, shout out to Hamilton. You were a bad place. Didn't like you.
Yeah, and Syracuse. You were the bane of my existence.
But I spent the whole morning at breakfast being like, my friend Leif, who is my friend, who I like better than all of you, is coming to pick me up. We're going to go home.
It's nice that you had someone to eat breakfast.
You don't have to meet him because I don't like you as much as him. Bye.
I remember just being like, how could I get out of here? Yes, I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
Those are good times. Let's see. I think we nailed out the questions. Are you ready to play a game?
Oh, I'm not. I'm not prepared.
Oh, but we are going to play.
Oh, a game.
You know the game. You know the rules.
Is it the Saw game? You're going to murder me?
It's where I murder you.
Great.
And then we play Who Can Find Your Body.
What if this just ended with me just screaming?
Oh, God.
And then you never produce another episode.
Please don't die, because that means I won't be able to post this. And also, I'll be wanted.
And also, you'll miss me because I'm dead.
I will miss your rent because you'll be dead, yes.
Okay, fair. You know what? I'll take that. Because a couple days ago, before we do this game, I just want to share something with you.
Okay.
Which is that a couple of days ago, I feel like I just didn't see you for a few days, or like you didn't come home one night.
No, it was I got home late. I was in bed already.
I just like missed. I didn't see you and I wasn't sure you were here. And I was like, I wonder if something happened to him. And I was like, concerned?
No text or anything.
No, I was like, if you're dead and I text you, what good does that do?
That is true. I'm a worrier. So I was like, hey, text me when you get home. If they don't text, a lot of people do that, but if they don't text you back, what are you going to go do? Go look for them? Or are you just going to be like, well, hopefully they're okay.
Well, this seems fine.
Like, it's, I do that all the time. Afterwards, I go, oh, but don't worry about it because I'm not going to come save you either way.
Some people call me out on that because I do that too. I think it's because we grew up in a place where people had to drive like a gazillion miles to get home.
Oh, yeah. Because like it was actually hey, it's going to take you all to get home. Make sure you get home safe. It's also crazy. There's also deer and animals in the road. And
anything
trees
could happen.
Everywhere.
Like, and a hook-handed murderer.
Well, yeah. Old Hooky down in the corner.
The man with the hook.
Remember Old Hooky? Oh, man.
Yeah. This is a weird thing we're doing.
I did improv for 4 years,
old
and that's
hooky
all
is
I
the
could
best you could do.
That's
yeah,
the best I could do.
Concerned about that, but
Old Hooky.
I don't know. I think you should maybe run down to UCB and demand your money.
Why don't I just go like Joe,
Old Hooky, and Joe?
Thousands of other names. Some would say millions. Some would probably say a billion.
No, I think a billion's a little steep.
That's a lot of names.
It's like an excessive. I mean, it could be literally any name, yeah. But only a small subset of those names would be amusing.
Hooky. So what shows have you been watching?
Oh, God. This is tough. I'm actually not watching much of anything right now.
Okay.
Because I've been super busy.
Whoa.
I'm so busy doing work at my job. I watched... That's not true, because like this weekend I watched an entire season of The Magicians on Sci-Fi. It was not good.
I'm also not gonna try to rhyme with magicians.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna torture you because I can only think of shows that are unrhymable.
Oh.
The Statisticians.
Oh yeah, no,
it's even more boring.
I like that's your pitch. It's more boring.
It's
The Statisticians.
It's like the show I didn't like, but more dull.
That's
what are you? Can we do this on you?
Supergirl?
Supergirl.
That's what I'm watching right now. I don't finish all the other CW ones.
Want to rhyme with that very much, but we can.
It's easy to rhyme with.
I will do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Kara is the character's
name. Kara is the name. Who else is in that? Is that the one with
Oh, don't.
Where, like, Ally McBeal is, like, a business lady.
Oh, yeah.
Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
I will watch any show where Calista Flockhart is a mean business lady.
She's a mean business lady.
Into it.
With a sensitive side.
Nothing's perfect.
All right. So, Supergirl. Kara joins the police academy in Trooper Girl.
I was gonna do that, but it was gonna be a Girl Scout troop because she's Super Girl.
You could still do that. Trooper Girl, that's actually better.
Trooper Girl. I'm just imagining like Troop Everly Hills, but with superpowers.
Gotcha.
Which I would 100% watch. I would also watch Troop Everly Hills without superpowers, just the movie Troop Everly Hills. As a matter of fact,
I want to watch. Yeah.
Oh, Shelley Long. That was Shelley Long, right?
I don't know. I'm terrible with Shelley names. Long?
I'm just distracting you because I don't want to do one.
You have to, because I already have like four ready to go. See, this is what happens when somebody lets me choose.
Supergirl, whose name I don't know, and Calista Flockhart replace Bruce Willis and the kid from Third Rock from the Sun in that movie where they time travel. This is not a good description. The movie's called Looper. The show will be called Looper Girl. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a younger version of Bruce Willis.
It's
and there's some sort of time traveling mishigas going on.
It's a fun movie.
But this time it's those two.
All right, nice. Kara gets really into the local soup kitchens in Supergirl.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I usually don't like saying the word beforehand, but I didn't know. Or be like, oh, she got really big into Campbell's in Supergirl.
She was really into, never mind, that's going nowhere.
She becomes a comedian in Blooper Girls.
Ooh.
Blooper Girl. Oh, that's weird.
Enjoys a healthy bowl of Raisin Bran in Scooper Girl. Two scoops. I'm bad at this game. I'm so good at other things.
That's the perfect, but that's the beauty of this game. They're supposed to be silly.
I just explained the plot of the movie Looper for like 15 minutes.
They're supposed to be silly, like this one. Supergirl time travels into the late 90s in Hangin' with Mr. Cooper Girl.
I can't beat that. We may have exhausted this.
That may have just been too good.
That may have been the end. But like, honestly, the problem I have is that I don't like to work blue, and I don't really like this, and it bothers me on a fundamental level.
Do you want me to do it?
But the only thing I can think of, yes. Yeah. It's going to bother you too. I know you hate it.
Oh, I hate it so, because it's my least favorite word.
I loathe it.
It's my least favorite word.
Oh.
But Supergirl starts a dog walking business.
Pooper Scooper Girl. That would have been kind of good.
I was going to say Pooper Girl.
Could have been Pooper Scooper Girl. You could double down.
Yeah, that would have been better. My Pooper Girl, just it's succinct.
I used to work for a bank. I used to work in a call center. I'm just going to tell stories. This is how I'm going to avoid this. And we had a number of clients who would call us. And one of them was a gentleman who annoyed me. And he had a business. And the name of his business was Dr. Pooper Scooper, which I have a lot of questions about. Literally maybe 10,000 questions. But he used to keep me on the phone forever and ever. He was very rude. And every time he hung up, I would say, I don't even think he's a real doctor. And the old ladies I worked with would laugh and laugh and laugh because that joke to them never got tired. Every week.
Oh, man, I have three really, really bad ones.
Oh, God, I'm not ready.
Kara, Supergirl, joins the Beach Boys in Slooper Girl.
Nope.
Sloop John B. That is a good reference.
I hate you.
What's the other ones that I wanted? I had a few. That one had to come out as soon as I thought of it. But there were three others. I was like, oh, these are real bad. Oh no, I lost them.
Kara contracts a Kryptonian stomach virus in Supergirl.
There we go. We haven't been playing with the other part.
I hate this.
That's perfect. Oh, I love it. It is pain that pained you to do. Supergirl. See, I don't know how to. Stupor Girl. She just like hangs out on the stoop. She is a crime fighter who stays on just for the building, and she stays on the stoop in Stupor Girl.
Why wasn't she in a stupor, like a catatonic
state? See, that's what you've got, the words. I've got the
other stuff. Rhymes.
The silly rhymes.
And together we are offering the world literally nothing of value.
Absolutely nothing. okay. Well, now we've got a whole other, Kara is in a whole surfing movie in Super Swirl.
Curl?
Super Curl. That's the winner. I fucked that up.
Okay.
She serves ice cream in Super Swirl.
It's weird that there aren't more surfing movies. Remember when, like, surf movies were a thing? Are they still a thing?
No.
I haven't been to the movies in a long time.
They were huge when Blue Crush came out. Do you remember that movie?
Was Blake Lively a surfer in that movie where she fights a shark? Does this movie exist?
The one from just recently?
Yes, The Shallows.
Yes.
She wasn't a surfer. She's like a sea scientist.
The recent one, she was like a paddle boarder, I think.
Oh, that might be it.
But I think that was more popular because horror movies and shark movies are kind of on the thing right now.
I thought it was just popular because we're always fascinated when Blake Lively tries to do acting.
Oh, maybe.
America's most beautiful acting statue, Blake Lively.
Yeah, I think because everyone's going for like the survivalist one or two person like scenario where it's like a lot of quiet.
It's like Reese Witherspoon did Wild. Like they're all sort of in that.
Yeah.
In that vein. I'm just really, really actively distracting you from this game.
That's easy. That's not just hard.
Just active derailment.
I'm the worst with staying on topic.
I want to ask you a question. Mm. Do you think in your heart that I believe that you want to sit here and talk to me about Reese Witherspoon and Blake Lively? You don't.
No. Well, I just, that's the thing. I didn't think about it. I went, yeah. I just like follow the carrot. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this. Ooh, what's over here?
All right. Well, then join us next time when we talk about literally nothing but The Age of Adeline, a movie that I cannot explain.
Gross.
It's going to be great.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper Girl? Should have ended on top.
Go out on a high note.
Where can we find you?
Literally, I live across the hall. I'm, again, the other person who lives here in this apartment.
Hi, my name's Leif.
Nice to meet you. I'm the other one who pays rent.
Huh.
No, I'm kidding.
I've heard rumors.
I mean, you can find me. You can find me wandering the streets in a sad stupor after subjecting myself to Pooper Scooper Girl. You can also find me on the internet, on Twitter, and nowhere else because I don't care about other things. My Twitter handle is @smorgasboredom. The bad personal branding decision because I have to spell it every time. It's SMORGASBOREDOM. Follow me there for jokes and garbage. Just complete and utter nonsense all the time. It brings me joy.
We need bring him joy. Bring him all the joy. You know my deal at said Leif. Follow me there. I have an Instagram. I don't use it that much, but we're getting there. @BearWithLeif. There's a Facebook group. Oh, please join my Facebook group. Bear with
Leif. Join the Facebook group. It sounds like a nice time. Come on.
On top of that, guys, I'm doing a lot of really fun projects with a bunch of people. Under the Brain Machine, we've got Medio Gringo, which has now been released and is so much fun. I don't understand most of it because I do not speak Spanish, but I'm very lucky to be part of the project. Please download it. It's amazing. Check it out. Synestalgia. I love movies. I love Caitlin. I love Calvin. It's been so much fun. Listen to that. Synestalgia. Listen to the UFO guys. Ufology. They are so much fun. Always Been Silly. That's a lot of fun. Another great podcast. Please download, rate all these. It's been a lot of fun doing them. I will continue doing them, and the more the merrier. Please join us, and hopefully one day you'll also hear Tilt, another podcast that I've been working on, but we've not released, so I'm just going to talk about it anyway to make me feel better about not releasing it, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye! All right, Evan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Leif. It's been a pleasure.
I had a question, actually, before we get going.
We've already done that whole part. You said goodbye.
No.
Okay.
Thunderdome.
Oh, Thunderdome. I think I've heard of that.
Now, to be clear, two men enter.
Mm-hmm. Two men enter.
How many men leave?
I believe... I'm not up to date, but I believe it's one man that leaves the space that we're referring to, which is
the
called
Dome of Thunder.
The Thunderdome. Yes.
Thunderdome.
Thunderdome is the dome that the two men enter.
Two men enter.
But then leaving, how many is it again? It's just the...
Well, we have to subtract one.
There's one. I know. I think the two men enter, leave. And then there's one less man.
Yeah, that one
leaves,
does not leave.
But then, so yeah, one of them does not leave.
So the other one
leaves. The from the Thunderdome. Two men enter. Into the Thunderdome.
Into the Thunderdome.
Yes.
Dome of Thunder.
The Thunderdome. And, but then after those two men have entered... You subtract one, and then there's just the one man, and he's the one who does the leaving.
And then he leaves.
He leaves.
Two men enter. One man leaves.
And all of this whole system is the Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome, where the men, two of them, just the two, they enter...
Two, yeah. Enter.
Enter into the Thunderdome.
You subtract one.
You minus the one with the math. It's good.
And the math then, and the swords.
So here's where I am with this. Okay, so you've got the Thunderdome, right?
We have the dome.
And then you got the guys, the two guys that enter, two men enter.
Two men enter.
Then you subtract one. He just stays right on in there.
He will stay.
He's not going anywhere. He's staying inside.
We will consider him the constant.
He's the one that's staying. But then the other one, what does he do? The one man.
He... leaves.
Where does he leave, though?
The Thunderdome.
Right. Okay, got it.
And that is the Thunderdome.
Yes.